It's time to tune up your taste buds and take a trip to culinary heaven, because we're live from Jasper's Kitchen, presented by Hen House. Sit back, relax, and enjoy something new from the wonderful world of delicious cooking with our favorite chef, Jasper Marabli, and his co-host, food journalist, Kimberly Stern. And now, here's the godfather of Italian cooking, Chef J-Man and Toots.
Hey, this is Jasper.
And Kimberly.
My friends, we are here at the Hen House Market with a live radio remote. How about it, Kimberly?
Where are we? Which Hen House?
We're at 117th and Monroe in Leawood, Kansas.
Someday I think we should bring you into a Hen House blind, sit you down. Lisa will drive you.
And I can see where
we'll
I'm
blindfold
at.
You.
I know.
Yeah.
I know my 11 Hen House markets.
You
and you should, too, because right now, Hen House Market is your local market since 1923. You know what? That's a long time to be in business, Kimberly.
94 years.
And to have the relationships that they have with people, of course, with all the poultry people, the fresh seafood purveyors. I mean, it's really something else when you walk through the store. The chicken alone, fresh, never frozen, all natural, cage-free. Chicken breast, come on. All the beautiful seafood. I was just in the seafood department with James Dewey, and he tells me just now, I got some hot news, that halibut season starts next week, and they're going to have it here at the Hen House Market.
I love halibut.
It's just flown in, and I mean, it's a big, big thing. You know, what sets halibut season apart from the other vendors and other people who do it? They air freight theirs daily. By day boat. Come on. That's a big deal.
That's a big deal.
And, you know, when you have it overnight, you taste the difference in the seafood. You really do. It's fresh, never frozen also. They keep a very, very low inventory on hand. That makes a big difference. That's what James tells me. And, of course, the many, many different recipes you can create with this.
Are you going to be creating something?
Well, I'm telling you. I mean, they've asked me. I've already done some new ones. But I'll be honest with you. Mine is just very, very simple. I just like a little, I do it poached. My friend Craig Jones, you know, he taught me all about, you know, I don't know if you know about this pressure cooker thing
Instant Pot going on right now. Absolutely.
You put it in an Instant Pot, a little bit of olive oil, a half a lemon, because it's going to roast a lemon in there, and whatever fresh herbs you want. 7 minutes, Kimberly. It takes longer to cool the Instant Pot down, and you'll have
than
the
it does
flakes.
To prepare.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So I'm into my Instant Pot right now, of course.
I need to take some lessons either from you or Craig, because I want to buy an Instant Pot because I know I would eat much healthier.
I just got mine. Of course, you can get one right now. You can go online to Amazon and get it. And Monday night, you can go to our friend Mindy over at Olive Tree. She has a class. Craig's doing his class there.
An Instant Pot class?
They still have availability there right now at the Olive Tree. So you can go online to olivetreekc.com. You can give Mindy a call, of course, and tell her you want to come to the Olive Tree Instant Pot class with, of course, Craig Jones. I mean, this guy knows what he's doing. He does the sous vide, does pizza and everything. And
he did a cheesecake.
Did you see the cheesecake that he did?
Caramel. It was gorgeous.
I'm telling you, I'm a little overwhelmed. I wish I could cook like that someday, maybe. How about it?
keep at it, Jasper.
Well, give Mindy a call right now. She's over at the Olive Tree. Matter of fact, she's probably waiting for your call right now. The phone number, of course, is... Kimberly, I got the number right in front of me, 913-338-2300.
You're special, Jasper.
What's going on? What's BOGO this week?
Oh, my gosh, the BOGO. I'm fixated on these Atlantic salmon fillets, $8.99 a pound.
I had salmon yesterday for lunch. I saw what you're eating for lunch yesterday.
I had one of your spinach salads with shrimp,
you
gorgonzola, and walnuts, and the Tuscan dressing. I love it.
Because of Lent, of course, that's why you're having the shrimp.
Yeah, instead
of
the chicken.
I did lobster risotto last night. I couldn't keep up with him. I had to jump back on beyond the line.
Did you?
Yeah, it was kind of fun. I mean,
Jasper
on
the line.
Yeah, it was kind of fun because Harvey, those guys got a little busy with the lobsters. I threw this at him at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon because the lobsters just arrived. And I said, when life gives you lobster,
you make risotto.
Lobster risotto, my friend.
So I'm curious, when you're on the line at the restaurant, are the guys giving you orders?
No, they're helping me. They always have my back, and I can always tell, even the younger guys and Pablo and Victor and everybody, they always have my back because I'll turn around and they're handing me something. They'll know maybe I'll forget. I don't do it, you know, 8 hours a day like they do. So I have a lot of respect for my guys. They've been there a long time.
You know what else is on special this week?
I know. You just go to that page, Tippin's Pies.
decadent turtle pie, $14.99. It's actually this month's feature pie.
Which one is it? I haven't even seen the pie. I'm on this diet, so I haven't looked at the pie.
Turtle pie. Look at that.
Oh, my gosh. Look at that.
Speaking of pies, we've got to get down to business here. Hey, our secret word today.
Well, you tell me. What do you want the secret word to be? I have my ideas. You have your ideas. I mean, it's all about meat today.
It is.
But we're doing buy fresh, buy local.
Wow, you're going to make
with Diane Endicott, so.
Buy fresh, buy local.
Buy fresh, buy local. That's the secret word. We're giving away what?
We are giving away Tippins Pie certificates and passes to Science City's Pie Day, which is Thursday, March 14th.
Wednesday, March 14th. That's Alex's
Tuesday.
That's Alex's birthday.
That's right, Pie Day.
3.1469728731659. That's as far as I can go. And that's part of the, you can join in the celebration. Yeah, 129. I can only go to 9 with that one.
Dennis, our engineer here, is looking at you like he's fact-checking
you.
Hey,
believe me, I'm not smart. I'm not bragging, but that's about the only figure I know. So
anyway, come in. Buy fresh, buy local is the secret phrase of the day. The first one here wins this wonderful certificate to Science City's Pie Day.
And a free pie. Look on the back there.
Well, there's, yeah.
You're giving free pies. Well, that's a $15 value right there alone, plus
right there.
$10 admission. Come on.
I know.
And you have gift certificates to give away.
Oh, we have certificates, absolutely. We have
Look at that big stack of certificates. You're like the lady there, man.
I tote these around. They're under lock and key when I tote them around all week. Henhouse gift cards. So the first person wins the Tippins Pie certificate. The second, third, fourth, fifth people coming in saying buy fresh, buy local.
That's something for spring break, I'll tell you. Kids out for spring break and all.
Yeah.
Kimberly, it was a great week this week. I had fun celebrating Mardi Gras, of course, on Tuesday. My king cakes and everything else I go
Those
crazy
were
with.
Gorgeous. So you made Mama Mirabli and her cronies at...
How about it? I made them king cakes. Oh, my God.
At the atriums. And Mama got the baby.
No, I put 6 babies. They all got babies.
Oh, you
did? They didn't know. Yeah, they all got babies. They didn't know.
Oh, Mama.
And then my brother Jim brought one over, and he had a baby in there. And then my cousin Rosemary Licata, she brought in something, and it had a baby. And their mama just, you know, she just...
Oh, my
Every half an hour kept getting another baby.
She's...
How about it?
Hopefully not as unruly as the four Mirabli
boys. What'd you do this week? Did you eat anywhere different? Anywhere go anywhere different?
You know, I was on super deadline this week, so I really, really didn't eat out a lot.
Tuesday we went to Jazz.
Yeah.
Oh, it was fun. I mean, we really had a good time. I'm thinking meat right now, Kimberly, though.
Meat?
Jazz was last week, seafood and all, you know, from Lent and all. But
we're going to have the Meat Shed on with Matt DeVos later. Of course, Diana Endicott. And Speak Sandwiches. Todd Schultz is going to talk to us. So.
This guy's pastrami. It may knock you out. Don't go nowhere, my friends. This is Jasper Mirabli.
And Kimberly Stern.
We are live from the Hen House Market, 117th and Row. We're celebrating meat and everything buy fresh, buy local right here on KCMO.
Talk Radio 103.7 FM, AM 710.
Again, Miss Kimberly.
Hey, Jay.
What's going on?
Just looking through the Hen House flyer for this week. Lots of good, delicious stuff going on.
I'm dealing with seafood right now, Kimberly.
You are.
I mean, the show's about meat, but I'm talking seafood right now.
You're talking halibut?
Fresh halibut. And also, next week, they're bringing in Argentine shrimp. I just tasted these shrimp. They have them here right now. I'm telling you, it tastes like lobster.
You didn't bring me a
Well, they're
taste?
Already. These aren't cooked, the ones I have here. These are going back to the work with me.
Oh, okay.
Do a little taste test.
Yeah,
the
you've got this little parcel
a little
in between us
A
here.
Little recipe development. You know what I'm going to do with these? I'm going to get them in the frying pan, some of that olive tree olive oil.
Yeah.
And just sea salt, nothing else.
Just
you don't
very
need anything.
Simple.
Yeah, Mediterranean
simple.
Style. That's what, if you look at my recipes, like the crazy chicken this week.
I was just looking at that.
That's what it's all about. There's 6-7 ingredients. That's the way I do my recipes. I've done them now for 11 years. I have over 541 recipes.
Whoa.
How about that? We should write a book.
Time to do a cookbook, Jay.
You just said we're both on the same page there, lady.
Let's call a meeting.
Call a meeting.
We'll call a meeting.
Call a luncheon.
Will we
have lunch?
We can have
I'll bring some sticky ribs and some of my other recipes. Oh, you know what I got coming up this month?
What?
Oyster poor boys.
Mm.
I have cioppino coming up. Chocolate mascarpone pie with just 4 ingredients. You're going to go crazy over that one.
Oh, you know
It is
I
so
will.
Simple. Yeah, it really is.
So anyway, you are going to be on Kansas City Live coming up.
I am. Oh, that's right.
March 16th.
I forgot to put that on the calendar.
And you're going to be, and I need a recipe, by the way.
I'll get that while we're working
right
here.
But you're going to be doing beer-braised pork.
I forgot about that. Yeah, you know what? We're having we're having two big dinners. Actually, we're having a beer supper club, number one,
in April,
and you can still sign up for that one. And then we're having a Banffy. Bill is coming in from Bill Whiting from Banffy
for a wine dinner.
Yeah, April 18th, he's coming in on a Tuesday night, day after tax day.
Day after tax day.
Well, tax day is the 15th, but the government moved up the 18th, the 17th, or something like that. You know.
You know all that.
Yeah,
and in March, you're doing artichoke supper club dinner.
Yeah, this Monday night.
Fabulous.
Monday night.
Is it Monday night already?
Monday night. You should. I hope we got a minute because I got to tell you this. I'm gonna tease you right now with the menu. Oh,
okay.
There's some. Did you see that word just came up, Kim?
I did.
Huh?
I did.
We could tease you. We're gonna say one word here right now. What's the word?
You go ahead.
Cuba.
Yeah.
We're not gonna say anything else. Just. Stay tuned, my friends. You're going to hear a little bit more about that. That's the word. Anyway, for Monday night, I started thinking about, you know, what am I going to cook? It's all about artichoke, and it's my supper club. We're going to have an artichoke tapenade, fresh ricotta, a study of stuffed artichokes. We're going to have an artichoke velouté, which is a, you know, one, the velouté is one of the five major sauces, but we're going to do a soup. And then we're going to do stuffed artichokes, pasta and artichokes, artichoke salad shaved, with artichoke frittata, chicken and roasted artichokes. And I'm going to do a chantilly, just like you had yesterday for lunch.
Oh, that chantilly.
I'm going to do a little lemon in there.
Nice.
I got to figure out a way to put a little lemon, maybe something crunchy, I don't know, on top.
A gorgeous study in artichokes.
How
you can go
it?
Online to Jasper's website for all the information on Supper Club and all the other events that you have.
Thank you, Miss Kimberly. Well, Kimberly, you know what? We're here at the Henhouse Market, and we're going to talk meat right now.
Yes, we are. We're going to talk with Matt DeMoss.
I met Matt a few months ago over at Olive Tree through our good friend Kate Sweetser down in Pittsburgh and Fort Scott and all that. And he brought some delicious samples for us to taste. You know what? When you're talking meat, you're in a good mood.
You are.
Everybody likes meat.
That's right.
I mean, we're like, what do you call those back in the Stone Age?
Cavemen?
Yeah, cavemen. So it's not just about rock soup. It's about meat today. Right here on KCMO.
Talk Radio 103.7 FM, AM 710.
Kimberly, I have a little question for you today.
Oh, I hope I know the answer, Jasper.
You better. What is the definition of meat?
Definition of meat?
Sure.
Well, it's protein.
That's close. That's good enough.
Okay.
Would you consider meat being the flesh of an animal?
I believe so.
But, I mean, do you eat the flesh of the animal? Some of it, maybe.
Some of it.
That's what Webster says. Well, what I'm saying is people all think that just meat is just, you know, a big piece of beef or a hamburger, you know.
Yeah.
But they don't realize the artisan background. Like, yeah, the aspect.
Right.
Like pork. You know, you think of pork, but then you think of salami.
Yeah.
Or do you think of porchetta?
Gotcha.
Well, I think you have found someone who we may be very, very interested in. And our good friend Kate Sweetser gave us a contact a while back. And the name is perfect because we're talking meat.
The Meat Shed.
That's right.
We have the owner-operator of the Meat Shed with us this morning, Matt DeMoss. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Matt, thanks for staying on and listening to my little, that wasn't a rant, but, you know, people don't realize that, you know, when you think of just meat, I mean, we're talking a lot of different, you know, some people think the meat of a nut. You know, that's considered meat also, Kim. You know, like an almond, you know, that's almond meat.
That's right.
So this is a wide category we're getting into today.
But, Matt, we're going to focus on what you do. And you do better food and diet through old world practices, something that used to be kind of a fad, but it's mainstream now, right?
I think it's getting there.
Yeah.
And to play off of what you guys started with there is, you know, meat comes from the flesh of an animal. The process of good food starts with the animal itself, and are you sourcing animals from the correct spot? And that's a big part of what I try to do and what I'm trying to bring to my customers.
And what you're bringing now, especially in the charcuterie department, is that one of your main departments right now, or main, you know, goals in the future also?
Well, charcuterie comes into play because I personally think the stuff tastes really good, all the different facets of charcuterie. But it also entertains the idea of doing the whole snout-to-tail processing of the animal. And so we're not letting anything go to waste. This animal has been sacrificed for our nourishment, and we're going to do everything we can to basically honor what it's providing us.
Including the flesh of the animal.
Yes, all of it.
Well, Matt, let's start from ground zero here. Why are you starting this business? What are your goals for the Meat Shed?
I started the business because I live in a rural community in southeast Kansas, but I like good food. And so, you know, your options are limited as far as what the stores offer down here. And, you know, it's just not feasible to drive to Kansas City or Springfield or Tulsa or Wichita anytime you wanted a meal and or a fancy meal. So, you know, we also grow the best food in the world in this area of the United States. And we ship it all away. So I wanted to find a way to keep all this good stuff here and, you know, start reviving a lot of the practices in food preparation and food preservation that generations had, you know, long before us and bring back the food that we had from our childhood.
And, you know, we're talking about slow food. And one of the fundamental ingredients that is not tangible in slow food, but it's critical, is time. Time is
Right.
I mean, that's what slow food's all about.
And I think time is probably the key ingredient in making a dish good to great. And so when you apply time, it doesn't make money. And that's the problem. And that's why we have trouble, I think, getting food that's really that top shelf quality, because there's time involved with it. And I'm thinking that the meat shed can find a market for people that want that extra bit of quality, and they're willing to pay a little bit for the time.
And I think that's the problem today. People just depend on, you know, bologna that was made, you know, in 10 minutes and cryovac or packaged and sent off to the store. They've kind of lost the art of that. I mean, there's great bologna out there, and it's called mortadella, and it's truly artisan. It's just like porchetta. I mean, you could do a pork roast or you can do porchetta. There's a big difference.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot more that goes into preparation. You know, for me to make a bologna or a mortadella, you know, you grind the meat, then you chop the meat, mix the meat, stuff the meat. Then, you know, with the bologna, I don't use a liquid smoke or anything. I actually smoke it. So there's another day involved in the process. So, you know, there's a lot to it. And I have a lot of people tell me, oh, I don't like bologna. And I try to, you know, once I get a sample what bologna is supposed to taste like, it really changes their tune.
Yeah.
You know, I have to ask you, and this is something that people all around the country now, salumis are hot, you know, and I say salumi, not salami.
Right.
And everybody has their own way of preserving and meats. Is yours old fashioned? I mean, do you stay to the tried and true rules, or do you kind of go out of the the one certain way of only making it this way? And you're experimenting, you're creating your own flavors?
A little bit. And I can explain to you, let's just take a salami. And with the salami, I'm learning more and more about it from people smarter than me and been making it longer than me all the time. And you're finding what parts of the pig to use, you know, what are the better muscles to put in there, the darker muscles with less sinewy fat and things like that in it. So you can start making your ingredient, your salami better by using those ingredients. But as far as what seasonings and spices go in there, it's really a fraction of what a good salumi requires. You can impart some seasonings to, but really the magic happens with the fermentation and the mold that you apply to the finished product while it's drying, and that really imparts the classic flavor that I think makes a good salami.
Are you more concerned with the animal that you bring in? Let's say, you know, I was kind of cut down recently when I said I was in Italy and we had the wild boar, and I know we have wild boars in Kansas, and someone with the Department of Agriculture told me, "Are you serious? We're trying to get rid of the wild boars in Kansas." Well, make salumi then. What the hell?
Well. For some reason, our food monitoring system, how we handle, how we approach meat in the United States is askew, in my opinion. I understand the overall principle of wanting to protect people from bad things that can make them sick. But they're going about it in the wrong fashion, I think, and we're not exploring what's readily available. And yes, wild pigs are a nuisance, but that could be a nuisance that, you know, you can make lemonade out of those lemons real easily.
Right.
Exactly. That's what I like to hear.
Well, Matt, we have just a minute, unfortunately, and I think we've got a whole nother show with you talking about that very subject we just touched on. But you've got some pop-up sales coming up that listeners might be interested in if they can't make it to Frontenac, right?
Right. If you can't make it to Frontenac, I'm working really hard to make sure I'm in the Kansas City area at least twice a month, maybe three or more. We're going to be at Somerset Winery on Saturday the 4th. We'll probably do some charcuterie plates, but I'll have basically everything I make. We'll haul up there and have available for sale. And then hopefully the following morning, we might do a little pop-up kitchen at Crow's Coffee, either in Waldo or down by UMKC. And then the following weekend, on the 11th, I will be in Fort Scott at the Beaux Arts Center, and I'm going to teach kind of a history / food course on corned beef and what it takes to go into make that into pastrami. So that'll be kind of a little teaser going into St. Patty's Day.
And, of course, people can go on your website or your Facebook page to find out
and
your schedule.
Really also Instagram. If you can find us on Instagram, The Meat Shed, I really enjoy that medium for social media. It allows me to be pretty dynamic in what I can post up there, and I would try to keep my menus, because the menus, you know, changes regularly, you know, considering what I have available. So if you're really interested in what I've got, that's a good place to watch me as well.
Well, we sure appreciate it. And, of course, like Kimberly said earlier, it's all about slow food, and you support people just like Circle B Ranch, some of the other companies that you're dealing with. You're keeping it local. That's what it's all about. We cannot wait to have you in Kansas City do a pop-up with slow food perhaps sometime. How about that?
I would absolutely love the opportunity.
And we know we could find you once in a while with some pop-ups with one of our sponsors over at the Olive Tree in Kansas City, or I should say Overland Park, Kansas. So.
Yeah. Right.
Well, thanks so much, Matt, for coming on. We look forward to breaking some salami with you soon. How's that?
That sounds fantastic. Very gracious for this opportunity, folks.
Grazie, grazie. Kimberly, I'm hungry. How about you?
I am very hungry. How about a little charcuterie for lunch?
Ah, sounds delicious. This is Jasper Morabili.
And Kimberly Stern.
Celebrating 11 years right here on KCMO.
Talk Radio 103.7 FM, AM 710.
Hey, this is Jasper. We are live at the Hen House Market celebrating everything fresh and local because it's that time of year, Miss Kimberly.
By fresh, by local.
I mean,
it's
only March.
Fresh.
Well, it's by fresh and by local, but it's only March.
I know.
I mean, you know what was in my front yard this morning? I should have taken a photo. Tulips.
Tulips are blooming.
They
I saw
bloom.
Dogwoods, the forsythia.
So
crazy.
Come on. And we brought on today Miss Diane Endicott.
We love Diana. Good morning.
Oh, Diane, I met you 11 years ago now. You realize that? When we first started the radio show.
11 years. My gracious.
Can you believe that?
How time flies.
I feel it.
I know David Ball would say this if he was here right now, and he'll probably come walking in the store in a few minutes. We really have to give you credit here. I say we because I feel like I'm part of the team here. We really have to give you credit here at the Hen House Market for the Buy Fresh and Buy Local program and what you've done. In Italy, this was a big thing in Italy for years, a consortium where you bring everybody together. In America, it started, but we really didn't have that here, Kimberly.
And, of course, Hen House started Buy Fresh, Buy Local in
1998. 98?
Yes. Yeah.
We started in 98 when we started raising greenhouse tomatoes on our farm. And we was with working with 83rd and Mission, store number at 83rd and Mission, and Jack Otterman was the produce manager.
Wow.
And we sold our first tomatoes there.
So you just kind of knocked on the back door, and that's kind of how the collaboration started?
That's correct. We just, my background was in farming, and we loved to farm, and I have a science background, so we knew we grew really good tomatoes, and so that's the business we decided to go into, and just had the case of tomatoes and knocked on the door and said, we have some extra ones. Would you be interested?
What?
So that was my marketing background.
I know you're very busy doing everything else with the Hen House Markets and the Buy Fresh, Buy Local for balls, but you still farm yourself?
Yes, we farm in a little town called Bronson, Kansas. It's by Fort Scott, and we have greenhouses, and then we also raise beef cattle. And then my husband, we own and operate a meat processing plant, a federally inspected meat processing plant. We sell local beef here to the Hen House Markets.
Wow.
Well, the CSA at Hen House, it kicks off in April or May, maybe?
It'll be in May.
May.
It'll be sometime in May, and we have a new produce director, Jonad. So he's awesome. And it's going to really be new and innovative this year. So for those that have been with us that didn't, or those that want to come back and really look at getting some products that they may have not had before that is only going to be available to the CSA members, some different options and opportunities, we'd like for them to come back and check it out.
You know, Jasper and I both do the CSA every year, and for like $25 or so a week,
yes,
you get...
You've never raised it.
No, it's been the same. We want to make it affordable for people to be able to come in and get local food and at least have an opportunity to try it. And when we have blackberries, only the CSA members will get the blackberries. When we have strawberries, you know, we don't have enough to sell to all the stores, well, then the CSA members gets the strawberries.
And, you know, Jasper, you can eat off that thing all week. Unless you have a family of 15, but, right?
Everything from the bread and then the little extras, like some weeks you'll put honey in there.
The honey sticks.
Or soap or a chapstick. That's a brand. I'm sorry.
You're a chapstick.
Yeah,
obsessed.
I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't
honey,
say that.
Honey lip balm.
I'm going to tell you something, and this is true. 2 years ago, I bought the lip balm kit. And my daughter still, we make it. Every time she comes back home, we'll make a little batch of it. So we make our own different flavors and everything. That's pretty cool. I mean, you know, we love everything local, and that's what it's all about. And with you on board here and the consortium, the people that you bring in, everybody from poultry to turkeys. I mean, you know, with Frank Reese and the turkeys during Thanksgiving time, of course.
The heritage turkeys.
And now you're working with local tilapia. I'm just finding this out about the local herbs, of course.
The local herbs. We have some different types of fish growers coming on board, aquaponics. We're really looking at diversifying with Jonad, looking at some new produce items to grow that we can get growers to grow. So it's we're growing, and the main thing that we're really looking at is making sure that we keep the integrity and the authenticity of the program and that we don't lose that.
And that's just what I was going to talk about. You know, buy fresh, buy local is no longer a fad. I mean, it's long surpassed being a trend. That's what people want. So how do you keep the integrity and the transparency and the authenticity?
Well, I think that's always been part of Ball's Food Stores and Hen House Markets culture, so it's been easy to bring that into the produce, into the Buy Fresh, Buy Local program. But we also look at it through our food safety programs, our Good Agricultural Practice, USDA food safety. We are very hands-on with the farmers, and we are very specific about the farmers that we work with. Most of them have been very long-term relationships, and we know that if we don't have the authentic and the integrity and the quality and make sure that what we're bringing to the market is local and is what it says, then we're not servicing the customer correctly and we're not doing justice to the farmer community either.
Right.
So if we don't have local cucumbers, we don't have them. We don't go get them somewhere else and try to say that we do. So what we can substitute it with something else, and that's where great chefs that we have like Chef Peter come into play and kind of help us diversify it in the CSA if we don't have something.
The executive chef, of course, for Peter Castillo for Hen House.
Well, I'll tell you something. We are very fortunate, and I've been for many years. I get to go to the luncheon on Monday and to meet everybody at the Ball's event space over in Kansas. And you're going to have – I know last year you had over 50 different people there. The farmers and everybody there.
I think this year we're probably looking between 135 to 150 people. It's by invitation only, and it's an opportunity for the growers to get to meet the store directors, the produce managers, the corporate office, and be able to share, their products and what they do. And then, of course, Chef Peter prepares the local luncheon with all local food. Wow. So it's an event that we've held for several years, and this year our keynote speaker is going to be Dr. John Eichert, which is a renowned, from the University of Missouri, retired professor of agricultural economics. And he's been writing the sustainability and local food for many years.
For many years. In fact, you can go online, read about him, and he's written many books, many interesting books.
Okay. Now, we talked a little bit about fish, local, you know, getting that in here, because we're landlocked, but we're going to still have it here. Anything that's really, really unique coming up that maybe we can kind of hint around and give our listeners something that's going to be really, really different this year that the farmers are doing? I know different types of melon or something like that, or peaches maybe, or?
Well, I think what you're going to find is that it's going to be the same crops, but different varieties. So our varieties are going to be a little bit different and maybe have a little bit more flavor to them. I know we're looking at some different tomato varieties that have, you know, more robust flavor.
Wow.
And so I think as we look at varieties of the produce, so before, as we've grown the program, maybe we've focused on making sure we have volume and not really focused on the varieties, because different varieties of squash, different varieties of cucumbers can have so much different flavor. And so we're really trying to focus on that this year.
And, of course, people can start signing up, I think, in a month or so.
Yes, they can start signing up. And anyone that has been before and then would like to come back and try, I think some people say it's too much food. I think we're going to have Jonad's working on a smaller amount of food at a less price. And so we can be more diversified for the different sizes of family.
Well, right. Diana, we would appreciate everything you do for the Henhouse Markets. And I only have one suggestion. You know, Jasper, with his stupid comments, pineapples.
Oh.
Can we get a local pineapple?
Definitely can get one. Probably grow at the greenhouse.
How about that? This is Jasper Miraboli.
And Kimberly Stern.
We're live at the Henhouse Market talking local. Don't go nowhere, my friends. We're going to come back with another great interview right here on KCMO.
Talk Radio 103.7 FM, AM 710.
Hey, this is Jasper.
And Kimberly.
We're here at the Henhouse Market right now. We're talking Tuscan salads right now, Kimberly.
With Katie Van Lucien, we are. It is, I'm telling you, Mr. G and I get it at least twice a week.
Now, do you get your dressing on the side? Because I do.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I get mine on the side. They'll do it for you. They'll do whatever you want here.
Yeah, and you get two rolls with it. Two sourdough farm to market.
I'm thinking, seriously, you get that salad.
Yeah.
We get this Instant Pot.
Yeah.
Take one of Mindy's classes, you know, with Craig Jones.
Yeah.
And you put, like, Jasper sauce in the Instant Pot, some pasta, a little cheese and ricotta cheese. And
voila.
And some local meat.
Yeah.
Turn it on for 15 minutes.
And what
we'll
have
a nice Tuscan salad. And, of course, we'll have a little baked masa chili. But you can join the Tuscan Chop Salad Club. I've never heard about this before.
Well, actually, Mr. G and I have gotten two free salads.
That means you've eaten 20 salads.
Well, we've eaten more. But we didn't know about the program.
Really?
So, yeah, but you buy 10 salads and the 11th is free. So, Katie, start your engines.
I like that.
Yeah.
The Tippins Pie Club, the Coffee Club. There's lots of clubs
Lots of clubs.
And I found out the word. Remember the word? I used this and I watched it last night in the movie. Moistus.
Yeah.
A gentleman said the word moistus. Mm-hmm. You told me it wasn't a word.
We'll talk later, Jasper.
No, I'm being very honest with you.
I know you are.
But a guy used it, not me. I watched it on TV.
You believe everything you read, everything you hear, Jasper?
We got started on the fake news right now, Miss Kimberly. We don't go politics. We don't go that direction. My friends, come on over here to the Henhouse Market right now, because I'm telling you, we still have some pies to give away.
We have pies, Henhouse gift cards, and you know, the first people that came in, they got the Science City package.
Aww.
They're going to take their grandkids.
Is that fantastic? They come
it
to
is.
A lot of our shows. We
like
that a lot.
They do.
You can come on over right now because they have ribeye steaks on sale, chuck roast on sale. Of course, 93% lean ground beef.
And I'm going to have to talk to Mr. Ball because I do not see a BOGO, unless
Kimberly.
It's eluding me, Jasper.
Big word. Oh, yes, here it is. Get one Turkey Hill free with purchase of one Turkey Hill ice cream. I didn't even know about
that. Well, it could have slapped me. It's on the
Turkey
front
Hill
page.
Ice cream, yeah.
Okay.
Driscoll strawberries are here.
Yeah.
I'm ready for the season. I'm going on spring break on Wednesday. I'm going down to see the baby in Florida.
I know you are. She's not going to be your baby after the wedding.
Exactly.
You can't call her that. Or can you?
I don't know. You know, we'll see. My baby's my little girl's always my baby girl.
I know.
She better be.
Come on.
Well, I'm doing a little planning, trying to find out where I'm going to eat and what I'm going to do on vacation and all.
Yeah.
But I've been listening to some of our old podcasts.
You have?
And some of the road food places that we go to.
Uh-huh.
I found a couple more down in Florida, so I may be texting you while I'm down there.
Good.
Sending you some suggestions. But there's some local food here in Kansas City. Come on. We have places here. And this is an all-local show today.
Right. It is an all-local
and
show.
To see the chef scene, what's going on here today. And watch our local chefs like Michael Smith and
the passion they have for their craft.
Else. It
really
is.
You can't get that when you
I
walk
always
into
say
a
my
chain.
Father passed away 19 years ago, and I said if he came back today, I would be so excited to show him different places. You know, I always think about that kind of stuff.
You know, that would be a great Chowtown column for you.
I think so. You know, like look
taking
what's
your
different
dad around
you know,
on a tour.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's something else. Anyway, we met recently with Todd Schulte. Speak sandwiches, and I had pastrami and corned beef on my mind. I'm not going to lie to you, Kim.
Don't
and that's
mind.
That's kind of like all I wanted to talk about. So he had to get me off the subject for a while, but he's got some great sandwiches, and we're going to do an interview now.
And he's over in Waldo. Take it away.
Well, we're back in the kitchen studio today, and we're talking with Todd Schulte, the owner of Speak. I mean, this is really a unique place. I've seen so many photos from friends like Craig Jones. I've got to come down and see you. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Thanks. It's nice to be here.
Well, what brought you to Kansas City? You're a Baltimore native.
I am originally from Baltimore. I've been in Kansas City for, I don't know, about maybe 15 years or so now. My wife is originally from Kansas City, so this seemed like a good place for us to start.
And what was your first restaurant in Kansas City, shop that you opened up?
The first one that I opened, a restaurant, was Happy Gillis.
Down on the old North End.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
That's the old neighborhood, my friend Chibe's place.
It was in Chibe's place.
Yeah, everybody knows Chibe in the North End.
I love Chibe. Chibe and Rose, they were two great customers.
And so you opened this up, and then you decided that you were going to get into soup.
Well, actually, the soup came first.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, before we had Happy Gillis, long story short.
So you're way ahead of your time, because now everybody's doing bone broth and everything. So
well, we didn't do bone broth originally, but years ago I was selling fish. Tried to get out of the restaurant business and selling fish.
Smart. Tried to get out.
Yeah,
see?
I tried. It pulled me back in.
I was just going to say that.
When I was selling fish, we started making soup and delivering it to people's homes. Each week we would do a different soup. They'd email, say, yeah, we'll take soup. So we'd show up at their door with soup. And it kind of grew and grew and grew. I quit my job. I put a kitchen upstairs at the time. It was at Lil's down on the west side, which is now
sure.
Novel.
Of course.
And that was great until we had to figure out how to lug these coolers of soup up and down flights of stairs. So we looked for a new spot because we outgrew that. As much as I love that spot, I miss it to this day. And that's when we found the Happy Gillis location. So originally, we were going to just have work our soup company out of the Gillis location. But we had this whole front part that could have been a dining room. So we were like, hey, why don't we just open up a breakfast lunch place while we're making soup?
Smart.
So that was how it's all trickled down.
And it's kind of funny because the soup led into Speak, your newest venture.
Well, the soup led into Happy Gillis, which led into Genesee Royale. And then I put the soup on hold for a while. And then a friend of mine, Bill Hall Jr., said, hey, let's start a new soup company together. So we opened up Uncommon Stock in the Happy Gillis location in the garage. Outgrew that. I sold Gillis. We moved over to the west side. And we had an empty room in the front. And Tracy would come in every day.
See, this won't let you go. Just keep bringing you back in.
Tracy would look at this room every day and be like, well, this is so dull. It was literally a desk and a refrigerator full of soup and a chalkboard. So we decided to rent that back from Uncommon Stock, and that's where we built Speak.
And Speak, okay. There's been a big buzz about this going on, and I see the photos and everything. And this is not a Jewish deli. We're going to start off letting people know that right away.
That's fine.
So, but the word Speak, why Speak? It just, I mean, I don't get it.
As I would come home from work, I would take this little road that drove right by our location. And on an overpass by the railroad tracks, there was a piece of graffiti that looked like a dog or a pig, and it just said Speak next to it. So it just stuck with me. I photographed it over the course of a year or so. And when Tracy and I decided to start this new venture, she said, well, why don't we just call it Speak? And I was like, well, I think that sounds great. So that's what we did. Some people got upset because there's a Speak salon in the crossroads, and they didn't like us using their name. And I figured, you know, if we were doing fingernails and hair.
Yeah, come on. We're
just doing sandwiches. So I really hope they're not upset. I don't want them to be upset.
Not at all. Well, I got to tell you, I've heard about something else at Speak that's kind of like, I don't know, I shouldn't say it's taken over because you know more about this than I do, but the pastrami.
The pastrami, it takes a large amount of our time. It's really, we just wanted to make a good pastrami sandwich, and I think we have. But I'd say for about the first 2 months that we were open, 95% of the orders were people just walking in pastrami.
Exactly, that's all
I didn't
hear.
Even need to know what they were ordering. We just started making pastrami sandwiches at that point.
Okay, let's talk about the menu at Speak. It's a sandwich shop.
It is. It's a sandwich shop, in essence, with, I guess, deli roots. We're not really doing anything reinventing the wheel. We have egg salad. We have chicken salad. Sometimes we have ham salad and tuna salad. We do an Italian cold cut style sandwich. We do a soup and sandwich combination. We have coleslaw and potato salad. Usual stuff that you would find to accompany a sandwich. And, of course, soup.
And I love just the chalkboard menus.
Yeah, we keep it pretty simple.
Keep it simple.
We don't have any printed menus because we do like to change it often. And we're getting ready to, you know, work in a few different things. A lot of people have come in and they're always asking, can I get that sandwich that you used to make at Happy Gillis? And I'm like, well, as long as Happy Gillis still doesn't make that sandwich,
exactly.
I think that we could probably work that into the program. So we might start to see some of the old hits.
How about the soups?
The soups, you know, we still run on common stock out of the same location, and our new soup selections are available on Fridays and Saturdays there. Speak also holds two soups each day, always a matzo ball soup, and the other soup changes from week to week.
Okay, you have to help me pronounce this. B-O-U-K-T-O-U-F.
Baktouf.
Baktouf.
Algerian Jewish grandmother soup.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, part of the greatest thing about owning a soup company is you can rip off grandmothers from across the world in their recipes.
I love it.
We're trying.
I love it.
It's a really simple soup, and we've been making it for years. I owe all the credit to David Ansel from the Soup Peddler down in Austin, Texas, the guy that I copied everything off of.
You're very respectful. Just talking to you the past 5 minutes of your neighbors, of people, and people where you your ideas come from.
I'm fortunate to have a lot of really nice people in my life. But, yeah, I got everything from David. I read about his company, and that's how we started this thing. He is a Baltimore native. I'm a Baltimore
there
native.
You go.
He had two D's in his name. I had two D's in my name.
Oh, wow.
So it all seems to work out. But back to the soup, it's a great soup, a tomato-based soup with shredded zucchini, lemon, cilantro, and potato. Very simple and delicious.
Oh, my gosh. Now let's talk a little bit about the bread.
The bread, we get all of our bread from wheat fields in Lawrence, Kansas.
Wow.
Because we still have a wonderful relationship with Farm to Market in town, but because of the proximity of the sandwich shop to the restaurant, we needed to make sure that we were doing some things differently. So we decided to go with wheat fields for our bread program at Speak. Gives us a chance to get on the road for a couple of hours undisturbed.
I like that. Well, my friend, I can only imagine what's in the future for you. Other projects going on. Nice sausage?
Nice sausage is hopefully we'll see that coming back. That was a short-lived little experiment with an old chef that worked at Genesee Royale with me, Daniel Breedlove. We started that. We just make a different sausage each week. We'll see if we can't bring that back.
Well, uncommon stock, of course. Speak the sandwich shop. I'm telling you, if you're on Facebook, if you're on social media, it is hot. You got to visit them. Your hours are a little bit different. You're not open on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Is that correct?
No, we're Wednesday through Saturday.
I like it.
10 to 4.
That's perfect. And, of course, you can give them a call. You can go visit them. Check out the website, speakkcmo.com. And, of course, you're located over off of 25th Street.
Exactly. Right across from Boulevard Brewery.
Wow. Well, Todd, I appreciate you coming in, my friend. I've got to get down there. Tuesday's my day off. But I have to change with my nephew or something, get down there on a Wednesday. I got to have this prescribed. It's on my mind right now.
Give me a call. I'll open up on Tuesday
for
you.
Oh, my friend, you're too kind. Thanks for coming in. Make sure you check him out. It's Speak Sandwiches. Todd Schulte, thanks for coming in. This is Jasper Morabili right here on KCMO. Talk Radio 103.7 FM, AM 710.
He just might.
We're live with Jasper and Kimberly at Hen House. That would be your cue to go. That would be your cue to say goodbye.
Well, goodbye. And we'll see you next week right here on Live from Jasper's Kitchen.
Can you hear us back there, Mark?
Yes, 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 I can.
We've been talking here. I mean, we're having a great time here at the radio show. Anyway, Kimberly, what a great show again. I'm thinking Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Pastrami.
I'm there.
What a great great show. Don't go anywhere, my friends. Next week we'll be back with another great show. We're at the Hen House Market right now. We're giving away free tippin' pies on KCMO.
Talk Radio 103.7 FM, AM 710.